You know, when I think of sexy young singers, I first think of Five-ish Finkel, who was a guest on this program just a couple of months ago. But there are others besides him. And one of them is with us in the studio. I didn't even get a smile or a laugh out of anybody in the studio from that joke. That's just sad right there. But
delayed.
At the WGBB studios with me in the neighborhood is indeed a sexy and talented young singer. Probably a little more out there in the folk punk, post-punk movement than pretty much anybody we've had here. I mean, we've had folks like Jill Sobule. Well, we've had Reckless Eric. So that was pretty out there way back when. But this is new stuff. This is Athena Reich. Is it Reich or Reich?
Reich.
Reich, like.
Well, no, but it's a German Jewish name. It's a Jewish name.
Oh, you're Jewish.
Well, half. That half.
Which half?
Thankfully, the German half.
The half that complains. No, I don't know what that means.
But Reich. Well, you can pronounce it anyway, but I just say Reich.
Okay.
Like bike.
And like, is that how your parents pronounced it, or?
Yeah, my dad, but my grandmother pronounced it Reich, and people before that pronounced it Reich, and it's just, it's confusing. It's an ongoing debate.
And did you ever think of changing, or did people look at you with that last name and
they always say, oh, Reich is in Hitler?
Yeah, well.
And I say, no, it's actually a really German Jewish name, and then they get really quiet.
Well, and are you part Greek? Is the Athena from that?
No, I'm not Greek. I'm actually, my mother is Mennonite. From Pennsylvania.
Oh, okay.
Amish country. And my dad is Jewish. And then they met in college and they ran away to Canada together. And then much to their disappointment, I ran back away to the States.
All right, this is already, like, wow. Mennonites, I guess, are allowed to go to college? I don't know.
Well, only because she was going to become a missionary. That was her, like, front.
Yeah.
And then when she got there, she thought, wow, there's a whole world out there.
There's a missionary position, among other things, but, you know.
Of course.
No,
but not, let's not think about that when it comes to my mother.
Mine neither. Yeah, it's still a virgin as far as I know.
Yeah, but she decided not to become a missionary and marry a Jew instead and go to Canada and become a professor.
Now, she had to escape to Canada to get away just from her family? Is that the deal? Or?
Well, kind of. I mean, psychologically, you know, a border helps.
Yeah. No, it's
not. Your family has to go through customs to get to you.
But how did you wind up, or they wind up back in America?
Well, just me. I came. Because I was born with this dual citizenship. And,
She's waving at our public access camera.
There's
here.
A camera, but it's like, I have to look the other way to see it. Say it, so
wait,
I thought I'd include
this. Isn't she cute, guys?
The cutie people
and girls.
In
Sorry.
The audience. Yeah. But hello, radio people back. So, what was the question?
I don't know. You were an adult when you got back from Canada to here.
After college in the Canada, I moved, because I'm a performer, and I wanted to come here, and I wanted to get away from my family.
Oh, okay. Was it a troubled childhood? Or?
Yes. Can't you tell by my music?
I can tell by some of the album covers. By the way, she has a few CDs out, including Stranger Things Have Happened.
Yes, they
and,
have.
And let's see. Well, actually, I should hold this up for the camera. Athena Under Attack. We'll talk about that, which is a response to 9/11 in music, which is always great fun. And then Athena Reich Live.
Stories from the Road.
But if you look at this, I mean, this picture, on which, of course, you cannot see because it's so far away.
But if you go to my website,
and you're
you
on the radio,
it.
Yeah. What's the website?
AthenaReich.com, AthenaReich.com.
Okay, Athena, like you would normally spell it, Reich,
yeah.
Like third, right. .com, and that's where you can get the albums and find out more about it. But again,
if
you see the covers on these things, you would not have any idea that the person that I'm talking to looks like she could have rolled out of Sunnybrook Farm, as a matter, you know, sort of. Kind of.
Well, my hair is longer now. I look a little different from
that. Yeah, it's a little punky. And did you go through a punk phase?
Yes, so they tell me.
Okay.
No, I didn't know that I was punk. People told me I was punk. I just had short hair and made music, and I don't know. People said, you're punk. I said, okay. I said, I hate punk. They said, that's
did
so
you
punk
really?
That you hate punk.
Wait. Did you hate the music or just that ridiculous lifestyle and the trappings
of it? No, I don't really like the music. I've since acquired a taste for punk, but I didn't like the music. I thought it was too loud, and they were like, but that's what you do sometimes.
So what was the music that influenced you when you were starting to be
Well, so many influences. I mean, of course, Ani DeFranco is a big influence. But, you know, everybody. I mean, I listened to the Indigo Girls, and I listened to Jesus Christ Superstar rock musicals, and I listened to Keith Jarrett, jazz piano player, and I listened to Eminem, and I listened to everybody.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty varied.
Was that from the beginning, or were you trained classically at all? Did you take piano lessons, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I started at 4 years old. My mom taught me classical piano, and then I started singing in a church choir at 8, and then I taught myself guitar at 16.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then I got a degree in music.
Where?
Montreal, at Concordia University.
Oh, so it's a Canadian degree. It doesn't really actually count.
No one understands that here.
Are you preferred on guitar, or do you prefer piano?
I prefer piano because it's my main instrument, but people love guitar. I mean, people in this continent, they're so guitar-oriented because of bluegrass, things like that. Folk, people really relate to it. So I do it sometimes, plus it's portable.
Right, guitar gives you that, but you can go play pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, you asked me when we were...
But I love piano. I mean, that's what I love.
Yeah. And when we were going to have a thing on the show, one of her first questions was, well, you have a piano, a keyboard. I'm like, no, we barely have a microphone in this place.
Right.
So, do you remember your first song?
That I wrote?
Yeah.
Actually, it's on Stranger Things Have Happened. I was 16 years old, and it's called Merry-Go-Round, and I had a dream. And that song is The Dream. Hey, Long Island! You're listening to Dave's Gone By, WGBB, 1240 AM. Listen, people. It's worth it.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By, and what we're calling sort of the Fourth Reich version of the show. I'm going to say Third Reich. How many Reichs are there? How far back can you train?
Well, my family's been in this country for five generations, in this continent.
Oh.
So they go way back.
Okay.
My grandfather's name was Adolf Reich.
Oh, for goodness sake.
He was a tyrant. I mean, he used to, like, he was, like...
What?
Well, he would beat my dad with a belt, and he was very abusive, he was very scary, and his name was Adolf Reich, but he was Jewish.
Wow. And were you escaping from that? Were your parents somewhat abusive
Yeah,
and they forced you to bake pretzels in a Mennonite way, or...
Right, no, pretzels and ice cream, yeah.
No, but were your parents...
Yeah.
What, yeah?
What?
Were they?
Were they abusive? Yes.
In a... Physical?
Yeah, I experienced abuse from different, my parents and people, babysitters and things like that. All different kinds of people in my family experienced physical and sexual and emotional abuse. The sexual was the worst. It's the most ongoing. Sometimes touch and sometimes through harassment, a lot of inappropriate behavior.
With relatives we're talking about.
Yeah, right? Father, brother, things like
that. Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
Merry-Go-Round, which you guys just heard, actually was one of the first times I went to therapy when I was 15, I started dreaming a lot, and that song Merry-Go-Round is directly from, about that. It's about, you know, the reconnecting with your little girl and seeing what she's been through and trying to reclaim the innocence and the joy again.
I have not been able to reconnect with my little girl. I've tried. It's just not happening. But are you estranged from your folks now?
I'm estranged from my father, but I'm close with my mom.
Okay.
Although it's complicated. Is
she still in Canada? Or
yes, she's in Canada, so I needed a border there.
Hmm, yeah.
So she
now
I
made a lot more clear, actually. Yeah, I thought we were just getting away from, you know, the Mennonites who were children of the Corns.
Right.
No offense to any Mennonites who might be listening.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's very mixed. I had a lot of wonderful things in my childhood, but a lot of, like, trauma. Ongoing trauma.
How old are you now, if you don't mind my...
I'm 31.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't look a day over 28. So, what that means. So, where are you musically now? I mean, when you started writing songs, and not just like as a kid, but when you did Merry-Go-Round, how have you evolved, would you say, as a songwriter?
I've evolved a lot. Mainly, I guess when I first started writing, my first album is called A Sly Sardonic Grin, and you can still buy it on my website. And it's a lot of spoken word and music. And when I listen to it, I kind of want to throw up because it's like really intense and it's like, bah! Like, here's everything. And people love it, you know, especially young people love it because it's like, bah! You know, all in your face,
people. Yeah, right.
All the rage, all of the angst there, you know, no holds barred. And then I made Stranger Things Have Happened, which is actually some old songs and some new songs, and it's with a full band, and it's awesome because there's like violins and horns and string sections. It's beautiful, you know, instrumentally, arrangement wise. And then I made a rock opera musical called Athena Under Attack, which actually deals with trauma and issues of abuse and experiencing September 11th, but from the perspective of someone who's already experienced abuse.
Right.
And how September 11th is a trauma for all of us, and how it's similar, the similarities to, like, being a kid and being abused and feeling that unsafety and that violence. And so the musical shows the connections between war and abuse and domestic violence.
I really didn't even want to get into this, but where were you?
On September
11th? Yeah.
I was in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I went on the roof, and I watched it happen, and I met two people, and I spent, who were in my building, and they had, because they had TV, I spent the day with these strangers. And then that's what happens in the musical. There's three characters, and they meet on this rooftop in Queens, and then they spend the day together, and they all have very different reactions to the event. Like Athena, the main character Athena, based on me, I guess, obviously.
It would be, wouldn't
right?
it? Yeah.
She, you know, has all this past trauma, so it's a trigger for her. So she's, like, almost losing her mind and feeling dissociative and, like, freaking out, but kind of, you know, and but also has this feeling of, we can't go to war, like, I can't stand another war, this, like, need for peace. And then the character Sam, actually, they've all been traumatized in different ways. He's been abused, like, physically by his dad, and his dad fought in Vietnam, so he's, like, his but he hasn't dealt with it, so he wants to go to war, and he's triggered the same way, but he wants to fight and go for it, and it's this whole, and more stuff happens in it, and so it's just, it's about people getting triggered, because when I saw it, I don't know. It seemed to me like watching George Bush speak, he seemed a little bit excited, like a little bit of a thrill behind what he was doing. It, and that just is a bit of like, if you've been traumatized and then you experience another trauma, you get a little bit of adrenaline rush. You get like almost like a thrill. Hmm. And so I just thought that
hair of the dog,
some of our leaders were like triggered, and there was a lot of trauma that was going on, and people were, you know, not talking about it and like deciding to go on war, maybe not on really good.
Is there a song, a representative song that maybe we could hear from Athena Under Attack?
Yeah, definitely. Let me think. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
God, here, hold it up for me.
Sure.
Wait, wait.
Holding it. Oh, I like the sound of that hitting the window, whatever that.
God, there's so many. Like, I, you know, like, I don't know. You could do, like.
Concentrate, Freedom and Democracy.
Do concentrate.
Yeah, okay. Let's hear Concentrate.
Hey, Long Island. This is Athena Reich. You are listening to Dave's Gone By, WGBB 1240 AM. Listen, people, it's worth it.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. We've been hearing the music and the talk of Athena Reich, the maker of such CDs as Stranger Things Have Happened, and we had just heard a song from Athena Under Attack. That was her rock opera based on her feelings after 9/11. Has this been performed as a concert opera, or is
yes,
it just on disc?
Yes, it was taken to the Toronto Fringe Festival, and it was performed in New York at the 14th Street Y Theater, and it's part of Point of View Productions Producers Club and Theater for the New City. Yeah. So right now I'm making a new album. It's my fifth album.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Little Girl Dreams, and it's got 15 songs on it.
Oh, my, yeah.
And I feel
you're going
like
the Tori Amos route. It's going to be 80 minutes long. And,
yeah. And I feel that my songwriting's really developed. I feel that I've matured. Before it was more like, bah! And then now it's more reflective. And I've just, I feel like I've grown up, and it's just
and
more reflective, less in your face. And I don't know. I've been working with this songwriting circle in New York for the past few years.
Oh, cool.
Lorraine Farrow heads it. She's like this amazing multi-platinum hit songwriter, and she's this amazing, generous woman. And so I've been working in her circles and developing my craft more and more. And so all those songs on that CD have been incredibly, you know, crafted and critiqued.
Well, what's something that she taught you or that you learned from the circle, very specific?
Well, just it's all about communication. So if people don't get it, you got to change it, you know. So sometimes as an artist, people think, well, you don't get it, you're dumb. Actually, no, like, depends who you want your audience to be. I mean, if you're writing a pop song, it's got to be for everybody's going to understand it. So if I don't get it, you know.
Yeah.
If people say, I don't get it, then you got to, like, work on it. I mean, that's probably the most thing that I work on doing.
Speaking of work, is this your full-time career thing? Do you also have a job to pay the bills, or how do you explain
it? Depends. When I tour, that's my full-time thing, music. And right now I'm not touring. So I teach music. I have private students, music, guitar, piano lessons. And I also go into schools and do songwriting with children and adults.
Cool.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have to get to the personal stuff, the deep, dark sort of whatever.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
No, keep the smile on the cat.
Here we go.
Give it a big, great smile. So, who is Athena Reich seeing or not seeing or not traumatizing or
You mean in terms of a relationship?
In terms of a relationship, yeah.
This girl here, come over.
Yay!
This is my new girlfriend. Her name is Annika.
Hello, Annika.
Hello.
How'd you guys meet? Was it on the road? Was it locally in a songwriter's workshop? Or?
Wait, look at the camera. Is she cute? She's adorable. Wait, you can say something you have to say in here. When we meet, we met on the internet.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because that's where you got to meet now, if you're serious.
And how long have you...
Not long, just like, I don't know, 2 months.
Oh, well, congratulations. Is it serious? You can talk into the...
Very serious.
Oh, that's lovely. That's great.
And if she doesn't like she's joking, but it is serious.
See, now what the radio folks are missing is some serious tongue-kissing action right now. It's really fabulous.
Dave.
I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing here.
Like private concerts, and she's an amazing, amazing musician.
And are you a musician too, or what do you do?
I'm a lover of music, but no, I'm a teacher, sixth grade math.
Oh, very cool. In the city or Queens? Or
Harlem.
Wow, that's kind of, how is that?
I love it. She works hard.
Well, yeah, I would imagine.
Days.
I'm sorry?
12-hour days she works.
And are they good? I mean, that's such a terrible thing to say, but...
Because they're good.
Yeah.
And you have to just learn how to motivate them in the right way. They want to be good.
Yeah.
They just cut.
And are the parents there for them, or is it really a struggle?
Some. I mean, good. Just depends. Like anywhere. Rich, poor, doesn't matter. I mean, the whole spectrum.
Cool. Well, good. Well, congratulations. I think that's lovely. I think that's, you know, don't hit each other and don't abuse each other.
No, we're not. We don't. It's good.
Good.
Very good.
Yeah, you seem glowing. You seem so happy and, you know.
We are.
I mean, you went to the beach in the middle of October.
Went to the beach today. What can you say?
Probably last weekend we'll be able to
it's
do
adorable.
That. So, okay, enough of the love bird. Well, all right.
Okay.
A little smiling, a little
nice
hugging,
yeah.
little nice touching, which, you know, we can say for later. I can sell that. But,
don't
so
get dirty.
What's the future, not that part of it, but the future, do you think, musically and
music,
anything
well,
else?
I'm also an actress, and I just did a run of a show called Love Sucks in the New York Musical Theater Festival. It got a lot of attention. We were in the Village Voice and, you know, backstage and a lot of reviews. So, I mean, the past month was dedicated. I mean, I'm in the city auditioning and doing and performing as an actress. So we just did that. It was a big deal. It's a punk rock musical, and we all played our own instruments. So I played electric guitar. And, you know, it was awesome. And, you know, there's buzz about it getting picked up. So we'll see.
All right. Well, best of luck on that. Best of luck on all the music and all the other
but
stuff.
But I'm working on my fifth album right now. That's what I got to plug that. Right. My producer is Cynthia Daniels, who lives in East Hampton. So I take this Long Island train all the way out there when I work with her. And she's won Emmys and Grammys. Oh. And she's, like, really great. And she's actually this, like, never mind.
No. Please, you brought it up. What?
Well, I don't know. Nothing. Okay.
Yeah, come on. No.
It was a mistake. Okay. Anyway, she's awesome. And so we're working on that CD right now.
On a label or what's the...
No, it's totally independent.
Cool.
And I'll just be like mail, you know, just selling it on independently distributed.
Including AthenaReich.com. Why don't you spell that out for us one more time?
AthenaReich. Like cat, h.com.
That's the place to find out all about your albums and your work and your appearances as well.
And actually, like, I've done a lot of booking my own tours and stuff like that, and I'm giving, in November, I'm giving a marketing, music marketing workshop as part of the Songwriters Guild. So people can find that out on my website. Sign up for the workshop. It's November 1st and November 8th.
No, where? In Manhattan?
In Manhattan, in Midtown, at the Songwriters Guild office, which is, you know, in Midtown, like, you know, whatever.
Bring a
compass. On my website.
People will find it somehow.
I'll go to my website, but it's all about, you know, how to just put yourself out there, guerrilla marketing style.
Well, thank you for putting yourself and your music out here in the neighborhood. It's been delightful to have Athena Reich with us, and we'll go out with one more Athena Reich tune. Do you have a
Let's go out with the Ballad of Chicken Shower. Which is a song I had a crush on my friend, but she happened to be straight, which is not good if you're a lesbian.
Right.
It's good if you're a man. And and I had a dream. A lot of my songs come from dreams. And this was a dream that she wouldn't kiss me in public. I realized, and then when I woke up from the dream, I thought, well, I didn't have a crush on her anymore because she couldn't really love me, right? And so the song is my dream, and it's called the ballad of Chicken Shower off of Stranger Things Have Happened.
Thank you, Athena Reich.
Hey, cats and dogs and tranny pets. This is Athena Reich. I'm a singer, songwriter, and actress, and you are definitely listening to Days Gone By on WGBB 1240 AM. And you just better stick on listening.
Thank you, Athena. Athena Reich, quite a personality, quite a singer. And
it's actually like she's yelling at me that I shouldn't sing.
I know. She's pretty intense. She's a lot of fun. In fact, she's so much fun. She is actually going to be back here next week, part two, with her and her friends on Dave's Gone By. See, one show with Athena Reich isn't quite enough. We need a little bit more. Also because I'm not going to be here actually live next week. So I grabbed some extra material.
So Athena, just go into the studio and knock yourself silly.
Yeah, just let's have some more fun with you and your friends.
Hey, cats and dogs and tranny pets. This is Athena Reich. I'm a singer, songwriter, and actress, and you are definitely listening to Days Gone By on WGBB 1240 AM, and you just better stick on listening!
Very happy that she's with us in the studio at WGBB. How are you, Athena? Well, it would be really, you'd be doing even better if I put your mic up. Let's try that again. How
Hi,
are
Dave.
You?
I mean, doing even better now Good. That my mic is up. Thank you.
So, let's see, what brought you to Long Island today in the afternoon?
Well, I came to visit some friends. I got some friends out here, and I came to do this radio show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
But you went to the beach today.
I went to the beach.
Every day I always think this is going to be the last nice day we're going to have, and then it's going to plummet to the 40s and the 30s and the 20s, but
now,
so far,
the global warming, it's great. I'm really, it's doing us some good.
Well, Christine Lavin, a folk singer who's been on the show, she had a song about the positive side of global warming.
It's working out great. It's totally working out.
If we get less snow, I'm all for
it. For us New Yorkers, it's working out.
And as a Canadian, my gosh.
As a Canadian, this is great.
Now, you'll have to just explain who you are and what you do and et cetera and so forth.
Okay, I am a singer-songwriter actress. I am working on my fifth CD. I'm originally from Canada. I've toured all over North America three times over. And I'm an actress too. I just finished a run at New York Musical Theater Festival, a punk rock show called Love Sucks. But I'm working on my fifth album right now.
Right. What is it? You know what it's going to be called?
Little Girl Dreams.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, dreams. Yeah. We were talking before, and dreams seem to be this real big thing for you.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of your songs come out of them, and I barely even remember mine.
Yeah, really, I have really vivid dreams that are so telling for me and important, and a lot of my songs are just exactly something
that
I dream.
Are they premonitional, or are they just symbolic?
Sometimes. I actually premonition September 11th.
How, when, where, what?
Well, I mean, in a dream. Two nights before, I had a dream that a huge plane fell into the Hudson River, and there was all this fire and people screaming and running away. And then but my whole point of the dream was that I was safe, and I kept saying, but I'm safe, even though this isn't good, I'm safe. And then when it happened two nights later, I thought, well, I'm going to be safe because I had this dream. I mean, maybe it's a coincidence, but seems like a premonition. I don't know.
Well, the FBI should be monitoring your brain chatter or something like that.
Yeah, my brain chatter would be very interesting to monitor.
You called Condoleezza Rice on September 10th. Maybe things would have been different. I don't know.
I know. They should put me in office.
Well, anybody.
Anybody
else.
Except them.
So, and what are some of the other dreams that you've had recently that were either really like, whoa, or
Well, I had
odd?
A dream last night that was really interesting.
You've been to the mountaintop? No, what was
No, because I have problems sleeping. And so I had this dream last night about being in this town called Sleep, and all the houses in the town called Sleep were overrun with water. And I was there with my mother, and I lost my laptop, and then my mother had stomach cancer. It was a nightmare.
Oh, this is a dream, right?
This is a dream.
Okay, yeah.
But I think it's really telling about why I can't dream, why I can't sleep. I'm still trying to figure it out. But I think it's like houses being overrun by water. It's like my emotions are sometimes overwhelming, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose my laptop. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my sense, my logical, practical side. And then I wasn't mothered enough. So I'm the loss of the mother.
Yeah.
So if I learn to mother myself more, then I can sleep more. That's what I'm thinking.
How often do you go to your therapist?
Once a week.
Just once a week? Wow, okay. No, I mean, we were discussing also before. Again, people, we had a long conversation before we actually got on the air here, so people might be coming into this a little crosswise. You had a very difficult, shall we say, childhood, and that's what you're coming out of still.
Yes, and actually that's a big reason I became an artist, because as a child growing up, I experienced a lot of trauma, a lot of abuse that was ongoing for many years, and watching TV, listening to music, it made me feel more isolated and alone, because I didn't find music or TV or films that spoke to my experience. So I became an artist. I wanted create media so that there's people out there who are right now like 13 years old or whatever and feeling the kinds of intense feelings that I was feeling. I create music for them, and a lot of times I have people in my shows come to me and they're crying and they say, I felt that way but I never knew how to articulate it.
Huh.
So that's a big reason that I'm an artist, is to create something that wasn't there for me when I was a kid.
I know you mentioned when we were talking that PJ Harvey's a big influence on you. I would assume Sinead O'Connor as well. Because her music,
Sinead
O'Connor, a lot of it was...
Ani DeFranco, I mean, Annie Lennox. I mean, I so many people I love. I don't know. I've so many influences.
Give people a taste of what you do. So I've got three CDs here from Athena Reich.
Merry-Go-Round from Stranger Things Have Happened. Is that okay, even though we're giving them...
Sure.
Give it that. Because that just talks... It's the first song I wrote when I was 16, and it's actually about... abuse and healing. So
and it's loads of laughs. It really
it's a fun good time.
Everybody jump around and dance to
No, but it's okay. Yeah. It's got a nice violin to soothe you.
Let's hear
it's okay. It's okay.
Pretty song from Athena Reich from her album Stranger Things Have Happened, a song called Merry Go Round. And we're very merry to have in the studio with us, God, what a segue, Athena Reich at WGBB. So yeah, that was your first song.
That was the first song I ever wrote.
How old were you?
16.
Cool.
Yeah.
And was there... what happened with me, I've written songs too, and when I did that first one, I ended up writing like 25 more in about 2 months.
Yeah.
Did that happen with you, or was it...
Yeah, I wrote a lot right, you know, at once, I'd say, over the first few years. Yeah.
And do you ever... I mean, are they all very personal, or do you go far afield, or... I mean, obviously, Royal Rock Opera, but even that came out of...
They're all really personal.
Yeah.
My songs. I'm trying to think if there's any that's not. I guess a new song I wrote, Love is Love, I co-wrote it with a multi-platinum hit songwriter, Lorraine Farrow. And
okay. Who also runs this
who
writer's
runs
this songwriting
workshop. Circle in New York that I'm a part of. I co-wrote that with her, so that wasn't completely personal in that it was a co-write, but it was still completely out of personal experience. Yeah.
Could you write from another character, do you think?
Well, I did in my musical. I wrote a rock opera called Athena Under Attack.
Right.
And I did write from different characters, absolutely. And I have done that in that situation.
Athena Under Attack is a rock opera. It's also a CD that you've done.
Yes.
Why don't you tell the folks?
Sure. I wrote a rock opera about September 11th. It takes place in Queens on a rooftop when three characters meet and they have very different reactions, psycho-political reactions to the event. They spend the day together. And, you know, one person, they've all experienced different levels, they all have different histories with trauma and abuse. So September 11th is a traumatic event that we all experienced, but when you have other traumatic events in your past, like most of us do, you know, it colors the experience and intensifies it. And so the piece, the show is about showing the cycles between the experience of war and the experience of domestic violence, and it's really a cry for peace.
Is there, and sorry if this almost sounds like a loaded question, but this has, in our talking now and in our talking before we went on mic, it comes up again and again. Is this, do you deal with it every single day, or are you at a point, you're 31 years old now, where you can go through a day or a week and it isn't on, in your mind, it isn't on, you've just moved totally forward, or is that impossible?
Maybe there's like one day that goes by, but I think it's usually on a daily, many, like I get triggered a lot of times, things happen, and because I had so much trauma so long in my childhood, there was never a moment of real rest or safety, so that like, and the more aware of it I become too, that's the other thing, you know, the more aware, the more deeper I get into it, the more aware I become of how easily triggered I am by just someone's facial expression or something they say or something. It's like, but at the same time, my life is great. I mean, it sounds terrible, but but it's not.
Yeah,
I mean,
your Holocaust survivors will go on to wonderful.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and it does get less with age. I mean, it is less and less. It's just that I'm more and more aware of it, so it's hard to, you know, it feels more and more, but it's because as I've matured, I've become more and more aware of how triggered I am all the time. Whereas before, I just thought I was angsty, and I didn't know why, you know? So now I identify it more. So, but no, I mean, I have a great life. I mean,
yeah. And you brought your girlfriend to
the
studio.
This is my girlfriend, Annika.
Hello.
Okay. Into the microphone, Annika, please.
Of course.
Thank you, Annika.
All right, thanks.
So this is kind of interesting to get into this dynamic. Do you sense when she's going to have a difficult moment or the things that you know will trigger a bad thing?
Definitely. I mean, the more I get to know her, the more I'm educated about what she's feeling. And I can usually always see it in her face. And her body will change a little bit. And then I know to kind of alter my behavior to make her more comfortable.
Is there a specific... I'm just literally just kind of curious about how the dynamic of the whole thing. I mean, like, what is something that you would have done that would never occur to you would be a trigger? And it turns out to be.
I think sometimes people, you know, I love to joke, and I mean, my dad loves to joke, and joking can be a lot of fun, but sometimes you say things that you don't realize really sort of bother someone, because they just come from a completely different story, they have a different story, and that hurts them. So I think there have been sometimes when I've kind of been like, ooh, shouldn't have said that, and I can see it in her face, and then we talk about it, and I understand why she might be affected by that.
And was your childhood completely different? Were you a quote-unquote happy, normal, so to speak?
Does that exist? No. I was pretty happy. I was an only child and very, very lonely in that sense. But, I mean, I didn't have trauma. My parents fought a lot, and that made me feel even more lonely. So I think I've always sort of had this desire to be very close with somebody that, you know, Athena and I have definitely felt that in a lot of ways that have been really, really awesome. And so, no trauma, but...
But you had a hard time being gay in a small town.
Yeah, definitely.
Small town meaning...
Very small, like 1,300 people. Like, whoa. I graduated in a class of 39 people.
And Annika's, like, a little bit tomboy, so she couldn't hide.
I just being
she's like, they knew she was gay before she did.
I used to get caught, like, I used to get kicked off of all-girl skates at the roller rink. And, like, kids would come up to me and tap
me. Think you were
a
boy.
And call me an it because they couldn't quite figure out if I was boy or girl. Like, this gender thing, like, need to categorize people. It's really hard on kids. And so that was traumatic, but I kind of just knew that...
You had good family support, though.
Uh-huh.
My parents were amazing, and they totally accepted
me. Did they know before you did?
No, I don't think so. I told them, like, in October when I was 19 that I had something to share with them, at Thanksgiving time. So, it was the three of us, and I was like, okay, here we go, and it just came out, and they're great. My dad was just like, I just want grandkids, that's it. And I said, well, that can happen.
So, well, I could.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I was going to start asking about that.
It's not accidentally. It has to be,
well,
you know,
on purpose.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I should mention you guys have only been together for 2 months,
not long,
so I'm not going to push or any kind of thing of how serious it will or won't get her. But the kid thing, Athena is 31. How old are you?
I'm 25.
25. So, but, you know, your biological clock is barely audible yet.
Right.
But are you worried that if you do have
an
offspring of some sort,
right,
are you afraid of passing down or any kind of thing like that? Or
passing
do you feel like
down.
You can just... Be 100. Well,
passing what down?
Behavior.
What behavior?
Oh, the
abuse.
Behavior of.
Oh God, abuse. You mean?
Yes.
Oh, I think I will be scared. I will be terrified of that. But I know that I won't do that because it's just like not my personality. I work with kids all the time,
right.
And like I have, like my dad is a sociopath, and it's kind of like. He is like he does. My dad is a shock, Dave, and like he has an inability to feel compassion. But I think like I got all of his compassion. Like I have incredible empathy. So
is he in prison by any chance?
No, he's not.
Should he be? All right.
I don't
know. Okay. Yeah.
But anyways, no, I'm not going to. Like I've been through tons of therapy, and it's just not my personality to like.
So do you want, at some point...
Do I want...
A squalling, mewling infant? Yeah.
I'd love some children, too.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm not going to say anything more. I mean, it was 2 months. Come on.
Don't even think of it 2 months.
She's incredibly compassionate, though. And
I see that. I do see that.
Very aware of what she didn't like about being a kid. So I feel like she's very aware. And in dealing with things, her kids will be fine. They'll be lucky.
So what do you see in her and what does she see in you? Well, I'm asking Annika and Athena Reich, our guest.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, first, when I saw her profile on the internet, because we met on the internet, I thought, oh, no, she's too young. But then I was like, but she's adorable. I was like, oh, man.
Her first message was, you.r.adorable.
Aww.
And then, like, a little bit of other stuff, but that was pretty much it.
Because I was, like, testing the waters. I was like, I don't know. She might be too young. But I was like, she's adorable. I just could tell by her pictures and stuff. And then when we met, it was like, I felt like, oh, we're from the same world. Like, I just feel like it's really rare when you meet someone who's from
That's
the same
cool.
world. And then when some other dates we went on, it was like we just laughed. She made me laugh. And I just felt so silly. And then I felt so comfortable with her. And then it felt like really quickly as if we'd been together for 6 months, like in a good way. It was like, oh, it was like so comfortable, so easy, and so much fun.
Are you living or not?
No.
Nothing. Okay.
U-Haul has not been called.
We're trying to avoid the lesbian stereotype.
So, and were you in other heavy relationships?
No.
Before?
Were you
unable
before?
To be
oh,
in
yeah.
Rela- or?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I was with somebody for 2 years.
Oh.
And Jesse, there's a song I wrote for her on that. And I was with this other girl named Trouble, and I wrote a song for her on Stories from the Road.
Her
I mean, that's
name,
not her official
I would hope not.
Name. No, I'm just kidding. That's what I call her, Trouble.
Was she, or
her,
was it? Was
of
she,
course,
no.
She was total Trouble.
But Athena's
yeah,
so
she's
adorable.
She's a big drinker.
So adorable that she still sends her shoes. And they're really amazing shoes. Everyone's
Trouble
like,
sends me shoes. Every six months I get presents.
Sorry. I mean, these are great shoes. So.
I kind of want the shoes.
Well, you're entitled to share. You get one shoe, she gets the other. It's pretty much. Now, I'm leaving out a good
Annika
friend here.
Oh, Alicia, too. Annika was going to talk about.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
You what? Because I talked about what I saw in you, but
oh, I'm sorry.
I didn't get the joy of hearing the other way.
Well, when I first read Athena's profile, I was just like, wow. I mean, it was almost like somebody had tapped into my brain and just thought, what can I write to get Annika's attention? And that was exactly, I mean, the music she listened to, you know, who she was, singer-songwriter. I love music, and I love to have that in my life. And, you know, just how she wrote. She was very matter-of-fact, but artsy. And I liked those two things together. And I thought she was gorgeous, and, you know.
What kind of music were you, or are you, listening to aside from hers?
I love lots of different music. I love, we just went to a Regina Spektor concert.
Oh, cool,
I love Regina. I like Tori Amos. I like rap, too, and hip-hop, and I'm a teacher, so, like, I like the music that my kids listen to, like that song Bartender. I mean, kind of crazy, but we just did a math song to it about prime numbers, and... So, I mean, I like all sorts of different music.
And I might as well then continue this question.
Yes.
What kind of music does your friend Alicia listen to? Alicia
is Alicia Metzger, and she is a local musician here. She's an awesome singer and songwriter. Alicia.
Yeah, I like Tori Amos. I like Ani DeFranco. I like a lot of the same music as Athena and Annika.
Actually, Alicia and I became friends on MySpace. We're all internet buds.
Cool. Yeah.
I have other non-internet friends, too. These are the ones who come to radio stations with me.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And they're in Long Island, so that's very helpful.
Well, Alicia is, yeah.
So are you with a band, or where do you perform, Alicia Metzger?
I've been performing at the Funky Fish in Bayshore.
The Funky Fish. Now, I didn't ask it before. I'm going to ask it now. Is it a lesbian place, or is it just a place?
No, it's not a lesbian place.
Okay,
it's
just had to kind of...
But some lesbians may be seen there on occasion.
There's some lesbians there once in a while, but for the most part, it's a lot of local people in Bayshore, and there's live music every night. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Tuesday nights is open mic night, and that's where I've been performing.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Mike plays the guitar for the time being. I'm going to be taking lessons soon.
So you're a singer, but you don't yet play...
not yet.
How would you describe your kind of music?
I have a hard time describing my music, but it's basically more like a bluesy, folk kind of type of music.
How long have you been at it?
I've always been singing, but I've only been working on this for about 6 months.
Oh, okay. What gave you the impetus to say, I'm going to really go after this?
I've been wanting to for a long time, and I worked with a couple of people before, Mike, and, you know, we just never really musically worked well together. We had different directions we wanted to go in, and now me and my friend Mike have been working, and he's just learning to play the guitar, but he's pretty good.
Cool.
So we're learning together, and so far we wrote a song called Heavy, and it's pretty good.
Would you be really embarrassed or whatever to do a little a cappella, or would that be like,
No, I could do it.
Alicia Metzger?
Alicia Metzger, but that's fine. When the rain is pouring and you feel like crying because you're all alone and you're far away, well, you can cry, you can weep, you can moan, you can scream, but it's still not gonna take you where you need to be. Ooh, and the rain is pouring. And it keeps going.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah,
when are you doing your CD?
I'm recording that song on Monday.
You mean tomorrow? Oh, well, yeah, we're live on the air.
Tomorrow,
cool. Oh,
yeah,
I forgot
it's Sunday.
Yeah.
I work tomorrow, so I try to not think about it.
Well, and I was also talking to you all before we got on mic here live, so you have a day job, quote unquote. What do you do?
Yeah, actually, I'm an account manager for a company called Heritage Hardware, and I sell to locksmiths, wholesale distributors, door companies, but I'm actually, my last day is December 31st because I was asked to relocate to Charlotte, North Carolina, or given, you know, an ultimatum to either, you know, leave December 31st or relocate.
To Malaysia, too.
Yeah, no, I'm not interested in that.
So are you going, is that a kick in the pants for you to just do music full-time, or is that not a possibility? You'll get another job in January.
I'm going to try to take a break and work on music, and I'm going to bartend part-time to make some money and see what happens. If I have to get, you know, a job again, I will. It's not a problem.
That's cool.
I'll figure it out, though.
How old are you, by the way?
28.
So I assume you're not living home and I mean, you're your own place and you have to support yourself, or?
No. Actually, I live at home with my parents.
Yes! Yes!
Is that what you do, Dave?
I did.
No, because you're saying yes.
Well, because I was embarrassed about it, because I lived at home until I was about 34.
Oh, nice.
And then, you know, marriage was sort of an impetus to kick me out.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I'm asking, and when I hear people have lived home or they moved away for a little while and come back home, I'm not so embarrassed anymore, because it's cool.
Lot.
It's okay. You can be in your late 20s or early 30s, your mid-50s and live home, but you know.
A lot of my friends are all starting to get married now. A couple of them are getting pregnant, but they all still live at home, and they're starting to get their stuff together. So I think that, you know, unless you have a boyfriend, it's hard to be single and live on Long Island by yourself.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's expensive. Like, I've been trying to work it out. I want to move out soon. And I'm every way I calculate it, it's going to be, like, at least $2,000 a month just in expenses and all that stuff. That's not saving any money.
Yeah. I mean, it's, because of rents and taxes in Long Island, it really is completely insane. Unless, of course, you find a rich girlfriend, which is... Well, we haven't asked... Who are you? Who's your... Do you have a little who's it?
No, I'm very single.
Well, ladies, are you...
I've been trying to convince Alicia to put a profile on the internet, and she won't do it.
You know, well,
gotta
put yourself
out there.
What about a MySpace page? You should have that.
Yeah,
but MySpace
it's better
page,
when you do, like, an internet dating thing, because then it's really, like, it's really intentional.
Right, well, Craigslist, something like that. You can.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Match.com,
Craigslist is a little shady.
Well,
Match.com's a little better.
Match.com.
I wouldn't suggest JDate for you. That would be, with a cross hanging around your neck, that... would be a little problematic. But
well, this cross is actually, I am Catholic, but, right. You know, this is my grandmother's cross. That's why I wear it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be wearing it. I don't even really like jewelry, to be honest.
Oh. Well, you are
but
wearing...
But your grandmother.
Well, yeah.
This is my grandmother's, and this my mom gave me this ring, so I wear that.
Sure. And the bracelet?
The bracelet my friend made.
Is this, you can describe the thing.
It's
colorful.
It's made of, like, rainbow crystals and rocks and stuff. That's pretty.
Cool.
Hey, Long Island, this is Athena Reich. You are listening to Dave's Gone By, WGBB 1240 AM. Listen, people, it's worth it.
I got a show next week in Long Island.
Right, thank you.
Yeah, here in Long Island, people, I'm. It's part of the SAS show, which is the Sexual Abuse Survivors Show. And
midgets, clowns, tumblers.
It's fun. No, but it's really cool. It's really a powerful event. There's all kinds of like artists, visual, music, theater artists performing. I'm performing it. The whole event is from 11 to 5 at the Suffolk Y Jewish Community Center, 74 Hopok Road. What?
Hopok.
There you go. Road in Commack, New York. And I'm going on at 12:45. And
in the afternoon.
In the afternoon. PM, yeah. And there's details on my website. So that's I'm going to be doing some songs Saturday, October 27th at 12:45. And I'm also going to be performing later that night in New York City as part of Globesity Festival. Penny Arcade. She's a performance artist, and there's this festival that she's doing called Globesity, and I'm part of it. And to be part of it, you have to fast for 10 days. I'm on day 7 of a 10-day fast right now. And then you fast for 10 days, and then you create an original work of art about consumerism and consumption. So I'm creating this performance art piece, which is funny because I usually do music, but I'm creating this performance art piece, which is really
now, cool. I mean, this is, I did
about consumerism.
Talk about this. Like, I passed on Yom Kippur. Usually.
Right.
It's about 24 and a half hours.
You just
hours.
Don't eat during the... Oh, you don't eat for how many hours?
Well, about, it's supposed to be 25, but by that last hour, I don't care. I'm starting to eat.
Yeah.
So 24 solid hours of nothing. Okay. Yeah. After that, A, I'm really an angry person.
Yeah.
And B, I couldn't imagine doing another 24 after that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'm fasting. I'm drinking juices. Kale, celery, you know, really healthy things. And I'm taking all these kind of raw food vitamin supplements. So it's this whole program that's designed. So I'm basically getting everything that I need to sustain myself. But I am fasting, so my body is eating itself. But the idea is that you eat yourself, and then you eat these
cells. If I could do that, I'd never leave the house. But you know.
You eat these.
Thank you.
Eat these. But I'm fine. You eat your cells, and then that releases, because you store toxins in all of your cells. So it releases, like, toxins that you normally carry. But here's the first 3 days are the hardest. Once you get past that, your body goes into eating itself. Before that, your body's, like, pissed off, and it's like, get me food, right?
Right.
But I'm past that. I'm in seventh. It's still hard.
You have quash your core yet? Or like the belly out to here like the Ethiopian kids? Or, I mean,
no. No, I'm okay.
You are getting the nutrition that you need.
Yeah. I supposedly. I mean, most likely. I mean, it's, you know, I'm done. And
I mean, have you had a bowel movement in the past 3 days?
Yeah. I actually got a colonic yesterday. You go for a colonic, you clear out your intestines.
You're not even getting any food, and you're flushing out more?
Yeah, out of your intestines. You flush, because my body's releasing all these toxins, and you put it in your colon, like one of the places you put it in. You also put it in your liver.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to do a liver gallbladder flush as well.
How the hell do you do that?
Well, for the colonic, you go to this guy, and you pay him like $100, and he sticks this thing up your butt.
Yeah.
But it's nice and lubricated and small.
That's
And then he massages your belly.
No, I'm kidding. No.
And then he... You don't know what we do. Anyways, and then...
My ex-girlfriend was bi, so yes, I did. But anyway,
okay. Anyway, so then this, and then he massages your belly and takes a vibrator to your belly, and then you have to relax. And this is like hippie new age music playing, and you breathe deeply, and then you watch your poop come out of this clear tube, and you think the whole it's fantastic. And then afterwards, you have the best sex of your life.
Oh, okay. I'll sign up
tomorrow. You're really loose and relaxed.
And you probably feel like 20 pounds lighter.
You are. You lose a couple pounds. And you just... Not that that's why I'm doing it. I'm not, like, anorexic.
No, well, I hope...
No, I'm not. I'm not. I eat a lot of food. I love food. It's just that I'm doing... I want to perform. In this festival. And I think... And I know it's... I've been wanting to fast for a long time. I mean... I think this is a great opportunity because there's a whole program they have us on giving us the minerals and the proteins and the irons that we need to sustain ourselves. So it's a good opportunity for me to fast. It is a healthy thing to do, like maybe once a year, you know.
I have heard
but
that.
But there are people, I mean extremists, they live on this. I mean, they live on this. It's crazy. I don't know.
I don't see that as a life. I mean,
they
I love
live on it
too much to be...
I know, but they're grumpy people, but don't say I said that. Anyways, come to the festival because we're all performing original... pieces. I'm performing at 9:30 at Theater for the New City, and I'm going to do a piece about our kind of love lust relationship with consumerism, you know, and also and my search for peace, you know, because all those voices in our head. I mean, how do we get them to be quiet?
Well, mine are still shouting at me now.
But, I know, but that's what my piece is about. So it's 9:30 at Night Theater for the New City.
This coming
Saturday, October 27th. So in the afternoon, I'm here in Long Island, and then in the evening, I'm in East Village.
Cool.
And all this stuff, you got to go to my website, athenareich.com, A-T-H-E-N-A-R-E-I-C, like cat, H.com. There's music that streams, and it's fun with videos, and you can go to the calendar page and see all these shows, and come check it out. If you come because of Dave's shows, come and tell me. Be like, hey, I came because of Dave's show. And then we'll be like, we'll have a bond.
Totally, totally cool. And bring her a sandwich, maybe a cookie. Because
I'll be able to eat by then.
Yeah, you're going to go to China.
I'm going to actually French kiss a chicken in as part of the performance art piece.
Huh? What?
Because I have a love...
Oh, a cooked chicken.
A cooked chicken.
Oh, yeah,
of course. I am safe.
As if that's more... that's somehow less perverted.
You know, I'm going to... Because, like, the whole... Like, I'm going to French kiss, a cooked, full Boston Market cooked chicken. Because I love consumerism. I love it.
Okay.
So I'm going to show that love relationship.
I'm going to be there for that. I'm really... I say that for so many reasons that I can't even explain. The voices in my head are telling me to go. But anyway...
Listen to the voices. Hey, Long Island. This is Athena Reich, singer, songwriter, actress. You are listening to WGBB 1240 AM, Days Gone By, as if you had a doubt as to what you were listening to. But you are listening to it. Listen!
First of all, I want to thank Athena Reich and her... girlfriend Annika.
We're all A's here at the A team.
Yeah, but it's just the pronunciation here.
This is Annika Schroeder.
Oh, Schroeder. Another German. German-esque thing.
But not Jewish. German, though.
No, but it's interesting that I've got three people in German.
We're all
just
German
by coincidence
here.
That there's a Germanic.
We like to hang out in groups.
Not really. Solution,
yeah, no, I'm half Jewish. And this is Alicia Metzger.
Right. And Alicia,
amazing musician.
Alicia, best of luck also on your career. I mean, I liked what I heard, so I do good luck on recording that song tomorrow, and let us know. Keep in touch so that you can let us know when that song is available to either download or get as a single or something like that.
I will.
And best of luck to you. You're not a musician, but you love music, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Annika.
Like Anakin Skywalker, team. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But without the N.
Or Hanukkah without the H.
There you go. Hanukkah without the H.
Or Hanukkah. And, of course, Athena Reich. Thank you, Reich. Thank you so much.
Thanks. I had a great time, Dave. You're fun.
Thanks. And what's a good song for us to...
to head out with?
Yeah.
Either
any of these CDs.
Something from Stranger Things Have Happened.
Okie dokie.
And put it on to... what do you guys think?
Well, listen, here's a list of all the songs on there. I'm holding it up to the window here.
Back to Canada. I'm Canadian. Everyone loves this song. Back to Canada.